If you want to explore unique perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media, you are listening to the right channel. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
Talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
Well, good morning, and welcome to Intravenous, a croaky voiced intravenous at that. My name's Robin. I will be hopefully one of your guides today on the program. I'm just waiting for Pranjali to get here also, and then we can carry on with what we had planned today. This is Intravenous, broadcasting on the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples, specifically the Kwikwetlen, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh peoples here on Burnaby Mountain. And as I mentioned, I'm just waiting for Pranjali, hopefully, to arrive. I'll give you a little sort of heads up on where we had hoped to go today. There was a dean's lecture here at SFU that was given by Dr. Safiya Noble, and they are a professor at the University of California in Los Angeles who has written a book called The Algorithms of Oppression, How Search Engines Reinforce Racism. And what's interesting about this book is particularly that it's very oriented towards not only race, but also women's experience and that intersectionality through race. So my understanding is that Pranjali did go to the talk and has read quite a bit of material on Safiya Noble. And before we get into that, I thought we'd listen to a song. This is actually off a playlist from music that has sort of a human rights-ish thematic to it. And I thought we'd have a listen to to these folks. This band is called Muna, M-U-N-A, and this is called I Know a Place here on Intravenous.
I saw the
And welcome back to Intravenous here on CJSF 90.1 FM, Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the unceded and ancestral territories of the Coast Salish people. I'm Robin.
And I'm Pranjali.
And it's nice to be on the radio with you.
Again. So it has been a long, long time. And it's because I'm in my second last semester. So I'm trying to wrap things up with my academic courses, trying to balance my fellowship and also the work that I do at the lab. So it's a lot going on, but I'm always happy to chat. And I think Robin just, you know, took away and brought up such an important work, which really shaped about how I, as an undergrad who had really minimal understanding of the constructions of technology, so the work of Safia Noble is really taught in the classes. So I was able to read a chapter by her, which was the first chapter, I think, which is called Searching for Black Girls. I think that is the first chapter, which talks about how the Google search engine reinforces racism and sexism and how and why that happens. That is the whole theme that the chapter in the book sets, which is trying to understand how technologies or interfaces like Google, which is supposedly a platform which is neutral, which is just supposed to give us information, how that can be biased and how can we think about it critically. I think that's the whole discussion of the book. And actually, the event is happening tonight, and I think the sales of the tickets are still open. So it's happening in the downtown, the Center for Dialogue, the SEAD People's space. So it's not the Harbor Center, it's the other one.
At Goldcorp.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, they have a nice big theater in there.
That's where it's happening. And also it's being streamed online. So if people are interested in that, I highly recommend listening to her talk, because it is being moderated by a professor of mine who I really, really learned a lot from, Stephanie Dick. A historian of technology, and she comes from the States. She studied in Harvard and whatever, and so on. So, I mean, that is going to be a very lit conversation, as we say it in Gen Z terms. But I was introduced to this idea of like questioning and critiquing and understanding what our connections to technologies are when I was doing coursework around labor and technology. And then I was introduced to this another course, which is called the New Media. It is called something around New Media and Women in Technology. And so the professor actually, or the instructor really, honed in to look at one specific aspect, which is called the feminist SDS, so science and technology studies, which is understanding technology, science, math, how it came to be from a feminist lens. So that is a whole like area of academia. And I think Safia Noble's work through Algorithm of Oppression really, you know, explains that and explores that area in a very accessible language, because I have read some texts which are like crazy. I don't understand what they're talking about. But no, Safia does a really good job in explaining, and really she gives examples of what search results came for her. Like, I am really glad she took screenshots of those Google searches so she could make a book out of it. So kudos to her for doing that. But the story goes that Safia Noble is sitting with her niece, and then she comes up with a question about, you know, searching something on Google, and then they go on and check what comes up if I search black girls, and then there's a whole host of Google searches. I think it's about 2013 or 2012, around the time where she took the screenshots. I'm not particularly sure about the certain aspects because I read the book a year ago. But so they find out how just searching the word black girls on a widely known search engine like Google comes up with results which are very derogatory and which are very sexist in how and what kind of search results came up. So they go on and talk about what the results are, why they are the way they are, and how we can think about technologies in the future. So yeah, I think there are like many different paths that I can go with, but I think you should steer the wheel here and ask me something, because I can talk about this. And actually the open hour slot that I used to do was like almost exactly this area, because this is really of my interest, and also climate change. So those two things.
Yeah. Well, it's important because it touches on so many aspects of our lives, right? Mm-hmm. And what I know of the book, I haven't read it myself, Algorithms of Oppression, by Dr. Safia Noble. The real inspiration for thinking about what the heck, mm-hmm. Came because when she Googled the phrase black girls, and that's all that she put in, some of the results on that first page came up and they were pornography, mm-hmm. right? And so the I don't know, spark, I guess, in her head was like, wait a second, mm-hmm. right? When we have these algorithms that are attributing bias on the first page of something that is so, as you mentioned, right, like pinpointing in a derogatory and very particular way, mm-hmm. right? There's obviously a glitch in the machine, and mm-hmm. what can we learn about ourselves through these mechanisms of technology mm-hmm. that we're led to understand have a level of neutrality mm-hmm. that they really don't. And I know that this is the same function. We used to have a graduate student volunteering with us and contributing to Intravenous, and her research was similar in that she was looking at how body positivity and the algorithms in Twitter were very whitewashed. Mm-hmm. And so whenever you put in that catchphrase or that search into yeah. Twitter, you would get the same sort of results, right? Mm-hmm. Where it was all of these pretty white people mm-hmm. to be the benchmark of what the quote unquote reality looked like. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, the idealization of the normal body or what a normal self should look like, I think that is the question, which is super interesting. But I will just go back to your phrase about the glitch of technology. I just have so much to talk about today. So you might have to stop me in between, and please feel free to do that. Because I have so much to talk about this. No, I mean, in terms of understanding if it's a glitch of technology, if it's a glitch of the machine, or as you just talked about, the undergrad student who worked and looked into algorithms. How I see is that it's an interesting way that Noble puts it, that it is an algorithm of oppression. But it is a catchy phrase to catch an attention and bring into question the technologies that we consider to be so, like, you know, you go to Google to seek information. And then a few months ago, if you were on social media, people would say, oh, we are getting information from social media. just to know that Bill C-18 was legislated, and now there is no news sources, but people are still on those platforms because, you know, it was never about the information. It was about being subjected to the same kind of information and having that confirmation bias and the silos be surrounded to you all the time. So that is how these systems hook you to the technologies. And there is actually a very fascinating book, and I think today's thing is going to be full of like book recommendations, but it is called, it talks about how like gambling works, but it looks at how actually technology took up the rules and the architecture and the aesthetics from there to hook us on those technologies. So that is the book about that. But they really try to describe how this relation between technology and gender, between technology and people or users, if you don't consider that lens for a second, is really extractive in nature because of the free labor that we do for the platforms, the data streams that flows all the time, whether you're just putting an alarm on your phone or, you know. So I'm not trying to be very, like, come off as a very cynicism or, like, come from that angle, but I'm trying to bring an angle of critique and seeing how that those glitches are not particularly in those machines or the algorithms. It's actually, so when you code something or you provide an algorithm to say that 2 + 2 = 4, that's a program, that is code. But an algorithm is like A + B = C. So that is what you provide. So you provide an algorithm and then you like apply it to something. So the application is the programming thing. So it is different in different programming languages. It is different in different interfaces and so on and so forth. So, I mean, the problem is not with the algorithm or with the code or with the programming language or the programmer. It's about really the social scenario which surrounds or the social environment that is subjected to. Maybe that is just A + B = C, or maybe it is, you know, searching about a certain term. And by the way, if you go on and search on Google right now, you will not see that. You will not see that bias result anymore because quote-unquote Google flagged those things and it's no longer available. Which if you go on and search for like women working hairstyles or, you know, outfits for women's work or something, you will see the faces of white women with tied up hair, which is like sleeked back. And that is the kind of like the normal. Whatever you go on and search, like you will definitely see a bias in how it's portrayed. If you go and search children Africa, for example, it's going to be horrible. So Google might take down one or two things by saying that it was a glitch in algorithm or the program. But in actuality, the problem is in really the way it is constructed. I hope it makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it absolutely does. Because we're building things from the lens of our cultural mm-hmm. understanding, right? And when our cultural understanding is surrounded and built upon this idea of white supremacy and you know, homogeneity, mm-hmm. Where the benchmark of all good things looks white, and mm-hmm. everything else is in relation to that in a not so good way, it totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. And that it's easy, I guess, and that was my own faux pas, kind of, where we can easily sort of blame the machine mm-hmm. for these things that we as a culture, or we as a society, we as the people and the users and the mm-hmm. creators of these things are actually the perpetrators of the fault. Mm-hmm. Or the perpetrators of the harm.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So
I'm just going to plug in the name of the book because I just searched it up. It's called Addiction by Design, and it's called, it's by Natasha D. Scholl. So it's a really interesting book.
Yeah, I can post that up on the show page for the archives of this program if you're interested in following up with that. But it's all part and parcel of the same phenomenon, right? This mm-hmm. this architecture of design and mm-hmm. how things really mirror the structure of all the other things.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we've got society at large structured in a very specific way,
mm-hmm.
then we can assume that all of the things that are adjunct to the society
mm-hmm.
are also structured in a similar way,
mm-hmm.
which oppress an enormous amount of people in these myriad ways that are both subtle and overt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think maybe we should have a song break here, but I do think also it depends on how you define technology, because this idea of like suppression, oppression, / subjugation, / bias is not very specific to just computers and algorithms and code. The relation between gender and technology is really old. And it is really deep-rooted because technology in the, 15th century was a hammer. Or in the 19th century was a typewriter. And then in the 20th century was a big mainframe computer, which took up the whole space. And now it is stuff like ChatGPT or generative AI. So it has a very big history, but I'm going to let you play the music.
Okay. Yeah. Let's hear a song. And then we'll come back with more on gender and technology and how the algorithms of oppression relate to these things
mm-hmm.
and keep us thinking in a particular way. I'm going to play this song from local band Zune. It is called Care. Oh, maybe I'm not going to play it.
I can maybe just...
Nope, doesn't want to play.
Okay.
But I have another local artist that we're going to hear from instead. this is Dominique Filzami. And it is a track called My Mind at Ease here on Intravenous.
Spot. You've been here too long. Be gone, be gone, be gone, be gone. Leave me alone, you sad thoughts. There's no room for you.